Professor Will Burnett will conclude the rebuttal period for the negative. I want to talk a little further about this matter of reasonable grounds, because I think there has been some evidence here tonight of what good men do in terms of what they think of as reasonable grounds. Now, when Senator Broyles was talking, he spoke of the help that the communists, appearing in opposition to this legislation at the hearing, were getting from people who are duped, and then he said, perhaps unconsciously, and continued. I hardly like the implication of that. I hardly like to think what would happen if, for example, this bill were law, and someone who had appeared, and perhaps who was not at all duped by the communists, certainly not consciously, but because he felt that this bill was dangerous to American freedoms and democracy, I hate to think of what would happen if such a person, who might, for example, have been a public school teacher, had appeared in Springfield by now in opposition to this bill, and then the bill became law. Would this constitute the reasonable grounds that this teacher were subversive, that she had been down at the hearings opposing this bill? I don't honestly know. Now, there's another little point that I'd like to bring to your attention here that I think the opposition was in error on. There was at least the implication that the list of subversive organizations was this list of the Attorney General or of the House Un-American Activities Committee. The list of what shall be subversive is by this bill to be determined in the courts of this state. But moreover, this matter of determination in itself is, of course, an extremely lengthy and time-consuming process. And this bill does not go in stages into law. So that in the meantime, any employing officer or board is presumably under the necessity of deciding for himself what organizations are presumably subversive. Now, I am delighted when I see an audience like this coming out to analyze some things of fundamental importance. I would hesitate to think of what might be the effect on all sorts of organization activity which are perfectly loyal organizations because of fears of people that this or that organization to which they have been belonging and which they are convinced are perfectly loyal organizations might be castigated later on as subversive. What chance would a person have in the classroom to discuss freely controversial issues with a balance so that youngsters can get a better opportunity to see what are the fundamental issues of this country, if the grounds for dismissal are the reasonable grounds that the person is subversive? Have you not seen, as well as I, an occasional sick personality who feels, for example, that perhaps the library of the University of Illinois is perhaps stacked with nothing but subversive literature? Those people do exist. Those persons might well run the whip handle. I suggest to you again, ladies and gentlemen, that this bill is permissive legislation at its worst. It does not define the affidavit. It does not spell it out. It does not define subversive organizations. I'm sorry, it does define it. But it does not list those organizations which are held to be subversive. And thus, the whole thing is up to the varying intelligences and good faith of the varying employees in the state who employ public employees, such as teachers. I want my youngsters to have an education in the hands of free, dignified teachers of courage and intelligence and who are helping them to see the dangers in such things as communism. And I would be afraid if this bill became law that that teacher would be too rare in this state because too many teachers would be afraid. That if I attempt even to expose communism, to show them some of the ugly literature, the lies, the cheating, the deceit, that I, by some person, might be accused of being myself subversive. These things can happen. I, again, want the decision as to who is subversive to be made by responsible people, and even then I want it to be a matter for court review. Some of you heard before you came here tonight on the radio that the Supreme Court has stated that the list of subversive organizations prepared, I'm not sure whether it's the Attorney General's list or the House or both, is not a list which can be so capriciously left without review, and that the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case of several organizations as to whether or not they are, in fact, subversive. This is the American way. Let us not go against that trend nationally. Let us not stand in the way of Edgar Hoover and the FBI in their attempt to track down subversives by, as amateurs, finagling with the process of the security of this country in this state. Thank you.
Senator Broyles will speak first in the rebuttal period for the defendant. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, this seems to be America in action. You know, they couldn't do this in Russia. A lot of other countries. Couldn't do it in some of the satellite countries of Russia either. You know, I just took down a few notes here, Dean Spaulding. Dean, I think it'd be very fair and justified if you'd point out in this bill what section is subversive, non-American. I invite you to do that. I actually invite you to do it, Dean. It isn't in there. Now, I notice, if I'm not mistaken, Pam, please correct me. Dean Spaulding mentioned that 10 years ago, one person out of 12 was controlled by communism. Is that correct, Dean? Now, there's one out of 3. Is that right? Well, according to all the reports that we have, Russia now has 800 million people under her control. Now we speak of loss of freedom. This bill is to keep our freedom. It's to preserve that constitution of ours, not lose any freedom. This bill is to keep academic freedom for those who want to speak the truth and teach the truth. All the world we need in this country to wipe out communism is for the truth to be taught, Americanism and communism side by side, and we would not have communism. But what we're getting at, we don't want communists to teach any more than you want an atheist to teach your Sunday school class. And I don't think you'd want that. Now we speak of what some of our great men of our nation says, like Justice Stone, Justice Rutledge, about our constitutional rights. We all want our constitutional rights preserved. I want them just as badly as you do. But you know, it seems as though they forgot to mention the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States made this statement. The government shall not swing into action against revolutionary utterances unless there is a clear and present danger. Then the utterances would destroy the government. Now we speak of the loyalty oath of California. That's not finished yet, I would say. Let's take the loyalty oath of Maryland, which was approved by the Supreme Court of Maryland. And let's don't discount Maryland people. The only question, the only part of the Maryland bill that was questioned was tried before the Supreme Court of the United States. And they held it constitutional just 2 weeks ago. Now we work in the thought about the oath of a farmer. The farmer doesn't handle your school children and mold their lives. You'd be afraid to talk about socialized medicine. I'm against socialized medicine, of course. But that isn't in the bill. Now we talk about thought control. And those who are accused in secret, well, that would not be under this bill. Now let's go to Professor Will Burnett. We speak of the underground and the criminal code and seditious laws. You know, we have seditious laws, that is true, against subversion. But the reason we need this law is the provision for the enforcement. Now, no one need be afraid of Senate Bill 102. It's directed against just subversive organizations. That's all. Just those who want to belong to the communist conspiracy or some subversive organization. Take Senator Graves. Now he questions the constitutionality. Senator, I have a high regard for your ability as a lawyer, but I don't place your opinion above the Supreme Court and the judgment of a lot of other good lawyers. This bill was written originally by the president of the American Bar Association with other good legal minds. Now I speak of the Overt Act. I think the Smith Act took care of that pretty well when Judge Medina convicted the 11 top communist traitors just a little over a year ago. I would say that his present laws are sufficient. We do, as I said, have laws for subversion. But this bill will give the means of enforcing such laws. Now, here we are, as Mr. Burnett, Professor Burnett said, got a teacher appearing in Springfield against this bill. He wondered just how he would be questioned or handled as to his loyalty. Well, Professor Burnett, I'll assure you that his loyalty will not be questioned. No place in this bill would question his loyalty. Now, here we are quibbling over, again, minor things as to the technicality and little things while our boys are dying in Korea by the same people who belong to the same conspiracy in this country. Let no one here be fooled. A communist is a communist, whether in Illinois, whether in any state in the Union, or whether in the Kremlin. They have pledged their allegiance to Joe Stott. Thank you.
How much time was that? All right, Mr. Hodges, the Orville Hodges, will conclude the rebuttal for the affirmative.